For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
5 o'clock on a Friday.
A Jet Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. All right, it's time to update the great debate of a list. I'm here to give you, as it stands on September 20th, 2024, the five greatest Jets quarterbacks of all time. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
It's Chad Pennington. Yeah. An actual successful first-round quarterback pick for the Jets.
I love Chad. Chad was wonderful. Still regret seeing him win the division for the Dolphins at the end of the 08 season, but Chad was a wonderful Jet.
Yes, he was. By the way, running backs really ran that team, wandering the Wildcat. But anyway, here we go.
Number four.
It's still locally owned Vinny Testaverde. Could have been higher up had he not popped that Achilles the next year, but
look,
you got to respect that.
Quarterback of the best Jets team of most of our lifetimes, that 98 team.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number three.
I'm going Mark Sanchez.
Mm,
disrespected, set up to fail with not really having an offensive mind around him, yet still navigated this team to two AFC championship games. And could have gotten his team to the Super Bowl that year versus the Steelers.
Listen, last year the Jets' defense, in my opinion, were as good at as Rex's defenses. The teams that got the title games, the difference was Mark Sanchez knew how to manage.
Yep.
They also had a much better offensive line. I don't want to ignore that. And Zach Wilson was Zach Wilson. So I agree with you. I think Mark gets very disrespected, and it bothers me that he's more known for the butt fumble than he is for the amounts of winning he did in the first 2 years of his career.
And may I say, I think an excellent NFL analyst.
Yeah, he's pretty
really
good.
I really do. Here
pretty good.
Number two.
It's Joe Namath. Super Bowl champ. Very hard to knock off being number one. I would say touch overrated, but yeah, let's do.
And who's number one?
Richard, number one.
Is it Richard Todd?
Number one's Aaron Rodgers.
Look,
already. After last night, if you score a mere 24 points at home versus the Patriots, how could you not? I mean, a non-Bill Belichick team, how could you not go to the pantheon of the greatest Jet quarterback of all time? It certainly woke up feeling that way around town. So I'm on board. My 16-1 Jetsies have the best quarterback of all time in their franchise.
Is there anything you do around the Jets that's not, you know, trolly?
I'm not trolling. Again, I've been the believer. You haven't been.
Teague, do you think that was a trolly list?
No, actually, thinking about it, it's kind of legitimate.
Yeah.
I think he played it straight.
Yeah.
And I think he's right.
Yeah. Is Aaron Rodgers not greater than Joe Namath?
As an all-time quarterback?
Yes.
Yes.
That's
okay.
What he's talking about.
They both have one Super Bowl.
Not
and Rodgers. Yeah. Rodgers has a chance to match him with the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
All right. Who's the greatest Brooklyn or New Jersey net of all time?
For me, it's Jason Kidd.
But Kevin Durant was a better player.
I'm using your argument against you. Just to explain
debatable.
This. No, it's not debatable.
Kevin Durant's a greater scorer. That wasn't Kidd's game. Kidd was a better all-around player.
Bro, don't embarrass
yourself. The triple-double king was Jason Kidd. That was not Kevin Durant.
I love Jason Kidd. I do. He means a lot to me. I trusted Jason Kidd.
Who has more triple-doubles in his career?
Bro, stop. There's no basketball analyst, person, or human that all time is going to put Jason ahead of KD.
Because you're in love with scoring.
No, my point is this is a very... KD's a hell of a defensive player, too, by the way.
Jason Kidd was a better all-around player.
It's like they never watched him play. I mean, come on. That's why the argument is wrong. Like, yes, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback who's ever played for the New York Jets.
Yes.
But you can do that in a lot of different scenarios.
Sounds
you got to do it for your team.
I mean, it sounds like, Evan, you're being very much a naysayer on the quarterback of the team that we've been supporting all day.
You know what's funny? He may not be number one, Teak, but he's probably in the top five already.
Yep.
All right, thank you very much, Sean. I am glad that someone decided to call up our wonderful radio program today to bring this up. I had it all ready to bring it up on my own, but I want to give this man the opportunity to bring it up first. Jeff in Manhattan, how are you, Jeff?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Wonderful. What's on your mind today?
Tiki, I got something for you, pal.
Let's hear me. Let's hear it.
I think you owe Mr. Jazz Chisholm an apology, sir.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Now, let's set that up. Thank you very much for the call, Jeff. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about the Yankees celebrations and how Jazz had a very good time.
Still an utterly ridiculous celebration to celebrate in the middle of the night when you have a day game the next day.
Jazz was celebrating a lot. He even went on to say, I don't give a bleep about the game the next day.
Yes, he went on Instagram Live. I guess they're the same company, but whatever.
And it led to this conversation about Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz is going to have a big day today, and you guys are going to be forced to come on the radio tomorrow and apologize to him. Because
I hope he does.
I only apologize if it's a home run.
You're raising the bar, bro.
I'm raising the bar. Dude, you're going to party epically? You want an apology from me? You better play epically.
What happened yesterday, Jazz?
And the pitch. Swing at a high drive, right field. It's deep, rarely moving back. He's near the wall. It's gone. Jazz Chisholm Jr. hits a two-run homer into right center field. He got all of it. And the Yankees are on the board. It's now 3-2 Seattle after Chisholm's 23rd home run of the season.
Go ahead, T. Apologize.
So, Jazz, I am sorry. I am sorry that I doubted that you had the ability to party all night and then go perform epically. You are the absolute effing man. I love you, Jazz. However, you dragged along your teammates and you partied with them all night. And a lot of them didn't play so great yesterday. And so I'm sorry, Jazz, but my argument still holds water.
So you're going to blame Jazz for Giancarlo taking an 0-4, for Glaber taking an 0-4, for Juan Soto making a diving play and taking
the
front over.
Bottle down.
Jazz backed it up, and he earned that apology.
Because Jazz is that dude.
Dude, you demanded a home run, and he did it.
Yeah, well, he's that dude. He can go out and go get hammered and then come back the next day, whatever it was, 10 hours later, and ball.
Yeah. Damn impressive.
Very damn impressive.
Yankees lost yesterday. I think the biggest story out of yesterday's game was Juan Soto made this great diving catch, and it was scary because he slid into that wall. Is that the same place where that kid's career got ruined? Remember who I'm talking about? The Yankees had a young prospect, and he made a diving attempt on a ball. No, that was Detroit, wasn't it, where the kid got hurt?
No, you're talking about the guy who came back to the Yankees three times
Dustin Fowler.
That was it.
Where did Dustin Fowler get hurt? That was a very scary, scary, but ruined the kid's career.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Billy McKinney.
Oh, Dustin Fowler's injury was in Chicago. So I was a little bit off. So Juan Soto, it was scary. Boone said he's going for imaging.
Yeah.
And he did stay in the game, so we'll keep you updated. I don't think the lineup's going to come out anytime soon, but if you're the Yankees, you could be a little cautious, just a little bit, just based where you are in the standings. But I'll tell you why tonight's a big night for the Yankees. Four Fingers is on the mound. And I'll tell you this about Four Fingers, Four Finger Cole. If that intentional walk, which led to just an absolute bomb of a performance against the Red Sox, if that leads to a struggling outing against the Oakland A's, I'd be very worried about Four Fingers.
Yeah, but I don't expect that. Are you expecting that? He's such a creature of like his process that I don't think that whatever got into his head against the Red Sox is going to linger.
Okay.
Over 5 days.
I don't know if I expected. Here's what I'd say. I'm an interested observer. I'm very intrigued to see if Four Fingers can kind of overcome the conclusion of that game. And look, his nickname's on the line here. Because I think if he goes 8 scoreless, I'll retire Four Fingers as his nickname. But I think if he struggles, that's it forever. He's Four Fingers Cole. Which I kind of is a cool nickname.
Really?
Yeah. Four Fingers. He had Sticky Stuff as a nickname for a while. He was able to get past that. All right, let's get to the Giants because they are playing a football game tomorrow. We have not spent a lot of time on it. I blame that all on how great the New York Jets looked. So that's Aaron Rodgers' fault. My apologies.
Yeah. Fortunately, they're playing Sunday too. But
who is playing on Sunday?
The Giants.
Oh, are they? I'm just kidding. The Browns are weird. So
very.
Myles Garrett's going to play. He's already admitted he's going to play. He's not 100%.
Got an ankle injury, but their D line is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like all four, what'd they have, four sacks? I think every defensive lineman had a sack last week.
Yeah, they won last week because their defense started to remind you of the defense from last year. How did the Giants win this game?
Well,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They can't give up four sacks and get behind the chains like the Jaguars did and have Trevor Lawrence look anemic as a quarterback. In this case, would be Daniel Jones. I think the offense has to be ball control in a way. Now, there's a little bit of, like, explosion waiting to happen with the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's the quarterback. I went and watched last week's game, and not the Cowboys game where they got blown out, but last week's game against Jacksonville.
They won the game 18-13.
Yep, but there were a couple of drives that looked really good, really efficient. But he hasn't connected at all with Amari Cooper.
He's done nothing, Amari. I think he's got like four catches for 32
exactly.
yards through two games.
But he's been targeted a good amount of time.
Right.
His target completion percentage is 29%. So he gets targeted a lot. He catches 29% of his balls, which is the worst in the NFL. So they've won a game. They got blown out by Dallas, but forget that. It's week one. They've won a game where they didn't even get their best player looking like their best player.
Mm.
And so it's like there's just pent-up explosion waiting to happen with Amari Cooper. And if that happens and their defense plays on that level, it could get away from the Giants. So to me, the Giants' game plan has got to be keep it out of their hands. Keep them frustrated and limit their opportunities. This is the type of game that I would chalk up to possession management, right? How many control possessions, limit theirs, and then you give yourself a chance. Because I don't think the Giants are, I don't think they're good, explosive enough if the Cleveland Browns turn on to keep up.
No, I think this is the Giants' formula is they're going to have to win a low,
yes,
kind of ugly-ish, right, low-scoring game, and they can't turn the ball over.
Right.
And I think Daniel Jones has been given a break. Daniel Jones, the phrase, Daniel Jones, the name Daniel Jones, has been uttered fewer times this week,
mm-hmm,
than any other week in a very long time.
Right.
And there's a few reasons for it. Number one, he played reasonably well against Washington. Like, we came in here on Monday, everybody's screaming and yelling about how the Giants lost, and it wasn't about him at all.
Mm-mm.
It was one of those rare times where you barely mention the quarterback's name. In fact, the quarterback played pretty well.
Yep.
He was fine. And so I think as this week has gone on, there's been less discussions from some, like Sean a week ago, Daniel's going to get benched. This is it for Daniel Jones. That's what you were saying all last week with the,
yep,
paper bag on your head. He's getting benched. This is the end of him. And he played reasonably well.
Yes.
I think this is the week where that prediction you had a week earlier, it's in play. Because the Browns are damn good.
And he always beats the Commanders. This was the point. He's got to back it up now and not, even if he's not great versus this defense, he can't spit up all over himself and exude no confidence for the rest of the
game. And
that offense
could happen considering the talent level that's, yeah, on this Brown defense. So my worry is, and my question is, what are we getting out of the quarterback on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the game plan is going to be. I'm going to suspect they're going to try to run the ball a lot. If there's one thing with a defensive front that wants to get after the quarterback, it's run at them, right? Just put them in positions where they're not able to tee off. We've seen a lot of this in the NFL. The Giants haven't necessarily done it, but you've seen attacking of edges with like reverses and stuff. And it helps neutralize great defensive ends when you pin that edge and just attack the edge, whether it's a toss or whether it's a reverse. So I would expect a lot of that, but in the run game, maybe in the pass, quick passing game, like those bubble screens. But I think the Giants have to be a ball control offense. They have to this week. You can't. I know they want to take shots because every team talks about, hey, let's take some shots. And yeah, we got Malik Nabers and Jalen Hyatt, who for whatever reason seems to be the odd man out in snaps for wide receivers for this Giants team. But you know you want to do that, but this isn't the type of game to do that and cause and get turnovers. Because Denzel Ward's still a hell of a cornerback.
No doubt. There was some weird drama around Jalen Hyatt over the last day or
yes.
so. There was a story that Jalen Hyatt was upset about his role and asked the Giants or wanted to ask the Giants for a trade.
Which is crazy.
During the offseason. Absolutely.
Something happened over the summer.
Well, Brian Daboll was asked about it, and Daboll gave a very awkward answer.
Mm-hmm.
He gives awkward answers when he's put in a tough spot and said that he's as close with Jalen Hyatt as he is
right.
with any player on the team, and you should ask Jalen Hyatt about this story. So then the reporters asked Jalen Hyatt about the story, and he went off and said it's absolute fake, it's not real, never happened.
Hmm.
Honestly, I should ask Sean. He writes fan fiction. What happened? I mean, you know what happened between Sol and Rogers, so what happened here?
I think that he wasn't, let's say, improving himself upon just being a deep threat runner. And I think he got a little frustrated and probably voiced some displeasure within the walls.
Oh, so you think he's lying now?
No. I don't think he ever requested a trade. And I think
right.
that's what he thought he was talking about. Yeah, I'm sure there was frustration. He's a competitor. He wants to be out there, and he lost his starting job at the beginning of camp. But that part may be true. But making the leap to him requesting a trade, I think, is what Hyatt stepped up today and said, this is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what he's talking about. But it's a hard transition sometimes when it becomes your... I don't know, your the tag that gets thrown on you. The guy that in the game I'm calling this weekend, Alec Pierce, for the Indianapolis Colts, that's basically all he does. He's like top five in the NFL in yards per catch because all he runs is deep routes. In fact, last year, he led the NFL in go routes, not like digs and corners and just straight go routes. That was kind of all he did. And week one, he caught a massive go route from Anthony Richardson. And it's taken him now in his third year to like change that narrative a little bit. It sounds easy to do. Just learn the route tree. But it's hard to run comebacks and digs and do it with the precision that's necessary for a quarterback to trust you. And I think Jalen Hyatt is in that little window right now.
He's also not getting on the field a lot.
Well, exactly. So how are you growing and learning and having tape to be evaluated and corrected off of if you're not playing? That's why it's hard.
Yeah.
But you know how Dave's is, and we all know how Dave's is. You got to earn your playing time.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And if someone else can do that job better, whether it's Darius Slayton or Wandell Robinson, those are the guys that are going to be on the field. It's unfortunate, but it's just the reality of the situation.
Here's what Jalen Hyatt said when he was asked about this story that he demanded a trade.
You really say throw it to me or trade me or whatever it was?
Nah, I didn't say that. I don't know where that came from. But, yeah, that's false. You know, I love being here. Joe, Dave's, I got so much respect for trading up for me, getting me. So whatever that, you know, that rumor was, it's not true at all.
Is that kind of making angry when you hear reports like that?
Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, it's false. It's false reports. I never say anything about being traded or going somewhere else, especially not during the summer. So my focus now is just, getting better for this team, being ready for my opportunity. But as far as trades and rumors of that, it was none of that.
To bring things full circle.
That sounds like something that, like, would have been heard by a lot of people if he would have said that. Because... if you're saying throw it to me or trade me, aren't you at practice?
Yeah, I don't think that was happening.
Right.
I don't think you're screaming throw me or trade me.
Like, are you doing that in the meeting? Either throw it to me or trade me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the other problem with Hyatt and his talent is, number one, we're in an NFL right now where the first 2 weeks have shown these defenses are taking away deep passes. No mm-hmm. team is throwing for the deep balls with these high safeties.
Yeah.
And also, this goes back to the quarterback. If the quarterback in that first game wasn't willing to take deep shots and everything, you know, is Daniel Jones holding back the development a little bit of Hyatt because of the skill set the two guys have?
By the way, speaking of wide receivers who have done nothing in the NFL demanding trades, do you know who the leading receiver for the Cleveland Browns happens to be after only 2 weeks?
Would it be Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore. Another young wide receiver who demanded a trade. The Jets had two the last couple of years. If this story was true, obviously it's being denied, the Giants would be trying to catch up. I mean, that's like a contest now. Which young receiver is going to demand the trade next? Jim is in Saratoga Springs. How you doing, Jim? What's up, Jim?
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
What's up,
man? How
you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, man?
Sorry, so I got one little tiki story I got to tell from 2006 at the training camp in Albany, New York.
Albany, my favorite place.
Tiki, I think it was your last year.
Yeah, it was. That was my last camp.
So, my son, who's now 27, was 10 years old at the time. Tiki's walking up the alleyway that's fenced off to go to the locker room, and my son is screaming, jumping up and down the top of his lungs, Tiki, Tiki, Tiki. Well, Tiki stops, big smile, talks to my son, and says, you play football? And my son goes, yes, sir, Saratoga Pop Warner, and signs his jersey, which he still has to this date. Then he said, am I going to see you in the NFL? He goes, yes, sir. Well, the kid ended up playing 4 years at the University of Rochester. And to this day, he talks about that moment. And so Tiki and that great smile, you know, it's not a fake smile. It's real. Tiki's just a great guy.
I appreciate that. That's cool, man.
Very cool.
I'm sorry he didn't get a chance to get in the NFL.
Came close. Yeah,
he played in college. That's close.
Yeah.
He played 4 years at Rochester. Dave's, alma mater.
Very cool.
But in any case, New York Giants. Yeah, that was a cool story. I've been dying to get him to tell you that.
I appreciate it.
And Tiki started smiling. I don't know, just like he smiled that day. All right, anybody else?
I tell everybody. Anybody who says Tiki's, you know, because he's got this big smile.
Who says Tiki anything? They say Tiki's a great guy. Anyhow, what's up? All right, we got to go. I'm sorry. I tried to let him get to his giant point. I felt bad.
But I think he waited for two hours. I think his phone had a delay.
Oh, I don't know. It was a great story, though. Right. Made everybody smile. Made Tiki smile. That's what matters.
I remember those days.
Yes.
I loved training camp.
You don't miss training camp.
I loved training camp.
Do you miss training camp?
I don't miss it because it was brutal.
Yeah.
Now I probably wouldn't hate it because it's not brutal.
Yeah, it's vacation now.
It's chill. And you sleep at home.
Right.
And it's easy. But I loved going to Albany. I loved it. So many good people.
You're the one guy to say that. I loved going to Albany.
I just met good people.
Nah, there are good people.
I have friends still from 20 years ago.
Nah, Albany was a cool place. I agree.
So
Zach is in Massapequa. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
I love the show. So I want to make a point about the Mets really quick. Going to the game tonight, super confident about it. Evan, quit being a wuss. The way you were talking about the Mets, you know, things can change. Perspectives can change. At first, I agreed with you. A split would be great. But now that we're here, now I want 2 out of 3.
No. I want 2 out of 3. There's a difference between what I want and if you're asking me, what do you think is going to happen? Those are two different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And now let me go to the Jets really quick.
Yep.
So, 24-year-old Jets fan, I've never seen a performance like that in my life. Absolutely ecstatic about it. I think every week the offense has gotten incrementally better, and I don't think it's going to stop. There's still room for improvement. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, they don't even have a connection that's really, you know, stable right now. So, you know, once they have that, that's another thing. Mike Williams, he's looking like a real number two receiver. I mean, sometimes he looks like a one. He's making plays. He comes up with a 50 ball where it's really not a 50-50. I mean, this offense looks good. The defense finally showed me something that I can believe in. So, hopefully they build off of that. This guy Sherwood, I don't know how to pronounce his first name. I wish I did.
Jamie.
What a player this guy is.
Oh, man. It's such a different – I don't mean to knock C.J. Mosley because C.J.'s out, and I hope he's back.
Right.
But the defense looked faster last night.
Well, because Jamie –
better without him.
Because Jamie and Sherwood was at safety, right? He had to put on weight.
Right.
This is from – his rookie season was Salah's first year, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was. So he had to, like, grow into the role that he's now filling in for C.J. Mosley, which sucks to lose him.
Oh, it does.
But, you know, one of the reasons, and I remember asking Coach Saleh this, because I had one of his first games. Actually, I had his first game was in Carolina. And I asked him about putting safeties in linebacker positions, especially light in the ass safeties. And he said it's really because of coverage.
Right.
Right. The running back is outpaced, like the linebacker in the development of the nouveau NFL. And Sherwood, even though he's put on some weight, he's still aggressive and
yeah.
fast.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you notice.
Right. It's what you notice.
That's like what you see. He's flying all over the place.
He closes so quickly. And no doubt. And he's right where he needs to be. The challenge and why he didn't show up for 2 years, basically, is that he was learning how to play linebacker.
Right.
And so he's learned how to play linebacker and is taking advantage of his opportunity that he got because of CJ's injury.
That is a big compliment that I don't think Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich had enough credit for.
Developing.
We have seen a couple of guys develop like that. I'll give you another one. A guy who right now may be the best defensive player on the team. Yeah. I don't even think it's crazy to say this anymore about Quincy Williams.
Right, Quincy, yeah.
And Quincy Williams was a waiver pickup.
And he's not big.
And he's not big.
He sat next to us at camp.
But he plays big.
He plays huge.
He'll hit the crap out of you.
Right.
So we have seen a lot of guys develop in that way. And he's right about the offense. Every single week, it's like what teachers used to tell you when you were a kid. Just show improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Just show improvement. The New York Jet offense from week one to week two to this past week, really yesterday, they had, you know how many first downs they had last night? You know the answer to this question?
They had like six in the first drives, two drives, right?
Yeah. How many first downs do you think the New York Jets had last night?
I'm going to say 15.
You're going to go with 15. That's a nice guess. It's a nice guess.
I was going to guess 18.
You're going to go with 18. That's a cute guess. It's all cute. 27.
Wow.
The New York Jets.
Oh, maybe they had 15 at halftime. Because I remember, I think that was one of the other points.
But that's a crazy number. Right. They had 27. They were 10 for 15 on third down conversions. Aaron has been automatic
That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, the third down conversions?
They had 15 third downs.
And so, yes, you are seeing an offense that continues to get better and better, and you could tell they're not done yet, that it can get even better than what we've seen over the first 3 weeks. And that is just ridiculous. Peter's in Connecticut. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. My question is about Daniel Jones. What do you think the Giants need to see from him this year to keep him? And then is there a scenario where he plays well like he did last week, they go 8-9 or 9-8, don't make the playoffs, and they retain him?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is he can't be a liability and he's got to stay healthy. That's obvious. But I think he also has to rise to a level that matches where his contract is. Otherwise, they're either going to try to find one high in the draft, trade up if they have a decent season, or they're going to take a project behind him and basically make it a competition. Right? He has to be either great, or they win a lot and get to the postseason.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to just be awesome, or they're going to have to win a crap ton of games.
Exactly.
Because the handwriting's on the wall. Like, even if they had a 9 or 10 win year and snuck into the postseason and Daniel was good, I still think they'd move on from him.
Yeah.
I do.
It feels like they're ready to make their bed with their own sheets. That's what it feels
like. Would you make the bed with if it's not your own sheets?
I don't know.
Like other people's sheets?
The leftovers from whoever owned the house before you did.
But that has a lot of germs.
I know.
You got to wash that. Throw it out.
You wash it as much as you want.
Nah, man, I'm throwing it out. I'm not taking those sheets.
They washed those sheets, got them to the playoffs. Now the sheets are dirty again.
Yeah, but you don't know what's on those sheets. You don't know what they did on those sheets.
True.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I know what they did on those sheets.
They put a big blue light on it.
Right.
And I want nothing to do with those sheets. I am certainly not putting a blue light or a black light on those sheets.
Which is why most new GMs and head coaches want their own sheets.
They want their own sheets. We have reached a Friday afternoon. And we have a big, big sports weekend. The Yankees are really trying to kind of nail down that American League East. They're in Oakland against the A's, the final few games that the A's are playing in Oakland. The Yankees leading the American League East at 4 right now. And we'll see what that lead is going into the 3-game series with the Orioles, the same series that coincides with the Mets taking Atlanta. In fact, I asked earlier everybody where they think Mets Braves will be when they face each other next week. And there was some disagreements. Lugie says the Mets are going to run away with it. They'll be 5 up. I think they're going to be tied. And both Sean and Tiki think that the Mets will be 2 up. Well, I ask you this question. Right now, the Yankees are 4 games up on the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are at home against the Tigers, a team battling for the 3rd wild card spot. Yankees are in Oakland. What is the Yankee lead going into the series against the Orioles? Sean Morash.
6 games.
Wow, so it's over.
I think it's going to be a bad spot for the Orioles.
Lugie, what will the Yankees lead on the Orioles be going into Tuesday?
What's the highest number it could be, possibly?
Seven. That's positive about the Yankees, too. I respect that. Tiki?
I'm going to say five.
Yeah, that's exactly my answer. I think it's going to be five. And if you have a five-game lead going to that three-game series against the Orioles,
you feel good about
it. It's over.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin.
Yeah. You win one game, you win the division.
Yep.
But we get set for another football weekend by making our picks, and they're brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy, by ELEC A25, building our future, and by Samuel Institute for Pain Management. Visit samuelpain.com, and by Saks Underwear with the ballpark pouch. So yesterday, me and Lugie's pick was made by Bad Tiki. We lost. We took the Patriots, getting the 6.5. L's for us. Wins for Tiki and Sean. So here are the standings as we enter the Sunday slate. Currently, I am 6-5 in first place. Lugie is 5-6 in second place. Tiki Barber is 3-8, but he's hot. He's a hot 3-8. And Sean Morash is off the snide. He got his first win of the year. He's 1-10. So 6-5, 5-6, 3-8, and 1-10. You are 1-10, sir.
You sure about that?
I am 100% sure.
Okay.
Just making sure. We've played 11 games. 6-5, 5-6, 3-8, 1-10. And since you don't believe my math, Sean, why don't you lead it off with our three NFL picks, the Giant game, and then two others. Go ahead.
I am red hot, only 5 games back of Evan. The gap is closed.
You're red hot. You won one game.
Red hot. Okay. Look, sometimes in the football world, in the gambling world, every once in a while, if you look hard enough, you get a little gift. A little teeny gift. It's up to you of how much money to put on the gift. But right away, I'm going to serve you a nice little gift. The Bucs are laying just 6.5 points versus this crappy Bronco team where Bo Nix is turning the ball over left and right. Mm. You saw what the Steelers basically pantsed Bo Nix. He's not ready here now. And the Bucs have fought and clawed both of these two games. They don't look like a fluke. I'm laying less than 7. Yeah, give me the Bucs at home Sunday afternoon as Denver gets rocked again. Game number one. Game number two. No Ivan Pace. No Jordan Addison. Lot of issues going on in Minnesota. And all I have from this Houston Texan team, no Joe Mixon, but laying 1.5 on the road. People are too high on the Vikings. They beat our crap Giants week 1. That was a great win over the Niners. They crash back down to earth. The Texans are one of the best teams in football, and laying 1.5 is a disgrace. Give me Houston pick number 2. Then to the dog pound we go. Let me tell you something. All week, I started Monday with a paper bag on my head. How ugly is this? Is it tank season? By Tuesday, I was reinvigorated with that Saquon Barkley drop to realize other teams have problems. And this Giant team cares about Brian Daboll. They fight for Brian Daboll. Miles Garrett is out there on one foot. Deshaun Watson stinks. You have every reason to look at this game and go, the Giants ain't dead yet. Looking ahead, short week to Dallas.
He's taking the Browns.
Give me Cleveland laying the 6.5. I got to believe it. I got to see it before I believe it.
Wow. Finally, one of you guys picks against the Giants.
Hey, by the way, as of this morning, I was picking the Giants. I can't do it.
I can't. I respect that. Tommy.
Okay. So, my first pick is a game I've loved all week. And I think anybody, and we're all in this category, that has lost money gambling have said the following thing. There is no way this team is going 0-3. Everybody on the planet is picking the Ravens. Include me in that list. There's no way the Ravens start 0-3. Evan will clip this when the Ravens lose. Yes. He will laugh about it all Sunday night. Whatever. It is what it is. I'm just going to stick with this pick. Ravens laying 1.5 in Dallas on Sunday. That's game number one. Game number two. And I'm breaking a rule here, and I'm just going to put it out there right now because I think it's a stupid rule. I'm taking the Eagles plus 2.5. Again, I'm taking the Eagles plus 2.5.
No, we heard you.
Okay. The Saints are a good football team. They're not as good as they've looked over the first 2 weeks. This just feels like the perfect bounce back spot from the Eagles. I'm sure all their fans think the season's over. They played bad football dating back to last year. This is the perfect rebound spot. No, I won't do that. But give me the Eagles plus 2.5 in New Orleans. That's game number two. You know, there's only so many times you can go back to the well. I'm going to take this approach with the Giants. This feels like a game that they're going to get absolutely smoked in. I think this is where you see this offensive line not play well. I think you're going to get a bad Daniel Jones performance. And I'm going to go with this. If they win, great. I'll be super excited as a Giants fan. And if they don't cover, at least I can gain a point over, I assume, one of you taking the Giants. So give me the Browns minus 6.5.
Wow.
I'm with Sean on that.
Wow.
Well,
anti-Giants finally took it there. Tiki, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to take the Giants getting 6.5. I expect them to play better than they have been. The next two are not easy, but interesting. The Raiders are hosting the Panthers. Now, if Bryce Young was still playing, this would be an easy Las Vegas pick. But Andy Dalton hadn't played in a little bit, and I loved what I saw from the Raiders calling that game a week ago. Give me the Raiders laying 6 at home. And then maybe the easiest pick of the weekend, the Seattle Seahawks at home against the Dolphins. They're only laying 4.5. That seems extraordinarily low to me. Give me the Seahawks laying 4.5 to best the Dolphins, the visiting Dolphins, with Tua not playing quarterback at least for another month.
All right. Game number one for me. I'm on this team again. A team that I think is being continuously underrated, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm. There are questions about Justin Herbert, so there's been a line change.
True.
When I wrote this down this morning, I didn't really feel that many questions about Herbert, despite the wrap on his ankle. The number was only 1.5. That's the amount of points the Steelers were laying. That number's changed. It's now -3, and I will take the -3. I don't know if Herbert's going to play. To me, this Pittsburgh Steeler defense is so dominant and so incredible that even if Justin does play, I think he's going to look very ordinary. And I think that Justin Fields will do enough. The Steelers will win again, and they will cover again. And I think the Chargers are frauds. I think we all kind of know that. You can change the coach. I think they're still who they are. So game number one, give me the Steelers on the new line, the expanded line. Pittsburgh -3, that's game number one. Game number two, I stared at the Saint-Eagle line, and I had a lot of thoughts that Lugie had. Ah, the Saints aren't that good. They're off to a great start.
They are that good.
Yeah, and then I started watching tape. Tiki told me, you know, you got to watch tape. And I said, I'm going to start watching tape. So I started watching the All-22 with the New Orleans Saints. And here's the conclusion I came to. Because I, you know, I don't want to brag. Sometimes I can be a football savant. They're that good. I can't believe they're that good. But Tiki told me. Clint. And then I watched the tape. And I'm like, this Clint Kubiak's a freaking genius.
He really is.
And then combine that with the fact that this Eagle defense has major issues. I know the line jumps out at people because you're like, oh my God, the Eagles, they're so good, 2.5, blah, blah, blah. That's a sucker's line. And one thing we know about Lugie, he's a sucker.
So wait, who are you taking?
I'm taking the New Orleans
Saints. No, we're not men of honor here. So we're going to have our first fight of the year. We're not men of honor here. Tiki, you were not there. You were interviewing somebody on the Indianapolis Colts, which is fine, before in the pre-show meeting. Sean was there. Evan said, I'm taking the Eagles today. He heard me take the Eagles.
You heard me
and
wrong.
He's flipping. No, we're not men of honor here.
I meant the game. This game
is under protest. Your pick doesn't count. My pick doesn't count. I'm dead serious. We have to repick now.
I'm repicking. The game.
No,
the
you
Eagle
didn't.
Game.
Sean.
The game, I said, not who I was picking. I didn't reveal who I was picking.
Then why didn't you say the Saints game?
Because we care about the Eagles a lot more than we care about. First of all, play the music or in the middle of picks. Thank you. I'm taking the Saints.
You had a huge smile on your face, and you wrote it down.
Hold on. Can I just break this? I don't think. First of all, I don't know why you guys are discussing picks before the show anyway.
Right. I didn't. I just said
we were discussing the game.
Second of all, did you pick the Eagles? Did you pick the Eagles, Lugie?
Well, I took them 2.5, plus 2.5.
Yeah. Did you pick them?
Yeah.
Are you confident in your pick?
I'm not confident it with Evan when he flips it because I just know how this works.
But
I'm going to lose the game now.
No.
100%. No, 100%.
You feel confident you're going to gain a game on Evan.
Bet the college fund on the Saints this week. Because I just know how this is going to go. Because it always goes this way.
Bro, I watched tape because Tiki told me to. I think the Saints are unbelievable.
You didn't watch nothing. You sat there and wrote baseball players' names down.
That's not true. I pay for NFL Plus. I'll show you on my account. Mm-hmm. That's how I always get the audio. I pay for NFL Plus. I watched it. Tiki advised me, and he's right. Obviously, I didn't know a lot of what I was looking at.
No, you flipped it based on the stuff I said.
This, Lugie, stop. This is the world is not about you, okay? It's not all about
you. Likewise, so you can't flip.
What have I done that's all about me?
You either bait and switch. Just be an honest person.
Can I finish my picks? I picked the Saints, laying the 2.5 at home against the Eagles. Game number three. I am so disgusted by Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer. Disgusted by them. I think the Giants are going to fight this weekend. I think they're going to fight.
I think they're going to claw. I think that number is way too big. I fully expect a low-scoring, kind of like punch-you-in-the-mouth kind of game. I am not super confident the Giants are going to win said game. Like, I think we're going to come here Monday cursing out something that happened that we're all pissed off about. Can you believe they bolted? I don't know what it is. I think it's going to be very low scoring. I think the final score is going to be something like 15-11. Like that kind of weird.
Or yeah. The scoregami?
Yeah, like a little scoregami issue.
Nice.
Yeah. But I think the Giants are going to cover. And I'm very disappointed in Super Giant fans, Tommy Lugauer and Sean Morash, that 3 weeks into the season has completely given up. So I'm with Tiki Barber. Oh, goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. I think the Giants are covering the number. So give me the Giants getting 6.5 in Cleveland against the Browns. So I am taking, officially, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are laying 3 against the Chargers. I'm taking the New Orleans Saints, laying 2.5 against the Eagles. And I'm taking the New York Giants. Now that these picks are over, Tiki, I am so confused by why Tommy is mad at me.
Because he thinks that you are just trying to gain an advantage on him and run away by picking opposite of him.
He's manipulating the game, too, because, once again, I had to go before him. He gets to control everything over there, which is fine. I'm going to lose either way
in
this thing.
He's the boss. Do you want me to... I'm not... First of all, I think we're... Do you want me to go first from now on? Would that make you feel better?
I think that you're not... I know for a fact you were picking the Eagles. By the way, I didn't pick the Eagles just to tie you. There was no gamemanship.
So then what am I doing wrong? I picked against you... People like that. We're going head-to-head. There's more interest in the game. Right. Oh, who's going to win?
But this is a competition we're doing here. There are stakes.
So
there should be honor.
There should be honor among thieves here. There is no... what's the dishonor? I picked a game.
Stakes. Guys, we're not in Squid Game in real life here. We're talking about selling some T-shirts and going in the dunk tank.
Because when the Saints are up 35-0 on Sunday, now I'll be...
Well, then don't pick them! Then don't pick the Eagles! You pick them! I'm picking the Saints! We have a football disagreement. It's not my fault that you don't have confidence in your own football knowledge.
So you didn't say in the office, I'm picking the Eagles.
I said I'm picking that game. Yes, I did say that, which I shouldn't have. I should keep it to myself. I said I'm picking that game. Okay. I didn't tell you who I was picking. Why would I tell you who I was picking?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.